are 15 to 20 million
jobs. I am your future.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We are national leaders.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products, with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM. As you know, we serve southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware on the radio waves. However, on the internet, you can listen from anywhere in the USA or anywhere in the world simply by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com. Well, you will receive a copy of today's broadcast later on this afternoon, and I ask, as always, that you send it out to family members and friends, because we always discuss a lot of very interesting points, and people are really getting the message that it's up to the American people to stick together to make real progress happen. This year, as you know, our theme is we've been encouraging America's businesses to highlight on their labels and packaging that their products are made or assembled right here in the United States of America. And I'm pleased to say, as I go out, more and more I am seeing a lot of little American flags or red, white, and blue labels, people making sure that they know that the public is out to look for the American-made label, and they also want them to look at their products. Last week, we had the pleasure of having Sherman McLeod, the founder, president, and CEO of Philadelphia Technical Training, on the show, and it was a great broadcast. And Sherman McLeod was a great guest, and I want to say a special thank you to Larkin Connolly for bringing Sherman to us. He was absolutely great. The comments I received were great, and people want people like Mr. McLeod to expand their efforts so that more people can succeed. Now, I just want to mention that you can visit his internet site by going to ptt.edu. That's ptt.edu, and you can also listen to last week's broadcast simply by going to the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen to Rebroadcast link. Well, today joining us, we have Larkin Connolly, National Small Business Advocate, Rich Logis, the principal of RJL Technology Integration. Our engineer is Henry Chaplinsky, and of course, the well-known Mark Andel is on board, the founder of the Made in America store, and he was very, very good last week with Sherman, as was Larkin and Rich, and I was really pleased to see all of the things that Sherman has done in a short period of time to get this operation running, and it always begs the question, why aren't more people doing it? In fact, as I went around this week, I had several discussions with people, and they said, asked me about President Trump directly. And they said, well, what do you think? Why all this controversy? I said, well, gentlemen, I believe that President Trump came at the right time, and he did something which is very unusual. He focused on helping America. I said the national media is not afraid that he's going to do something wrong. They're afraid, and also the elected people are afraid he will do something right that will make them look like they did nothing right in the last 30 years. And that's where the problem comes in. And that's where, and then people say, I agree with that. And people like all that is happening in America. We haven't seen anything like it. And I don't know when the next person's going to come into the situation that will improve upon him. In fact, part of this discussion was that he, if he wasn't elected, would it be business as usual, or would the media be attacking the new person for doing nothing? So it's two parts of a story that are very shameful in respect. Instead of the media trying to back up all the good, one man cannot do everything. The people going to the stores, looking at the label, paying, for things at the cashier's desk that are made in America, knowing that they're helping Americans. That's where this movement has been going in the last 19 years, and I compliment everyone involved. I'm going to start off today with Rich Logis. Rich, how are you doing?
Guys, good morning. How's everyone doing? And I'm doing great, Michael. Thank you. Hope our listeners are doing well. And, you know, Michael, you said something just now in the opening that's really, I want to just comment on, because the whole thing about the D mic, not wanting for the new president and the administration and then all the others around to succeed, I think is really quite, not only is it accurate, it's very, very unfortunate. It's, if you look over the last year or so and you really get down in the trenches here, guys, and you look at many of the things that have happened and are happening, one of the premises of the president's campaign, Michael, was that he said, I'm going to do this and this and that and that. And sure enough, being in office for a little over a year, a lot of those promises have been kept, right? Or for the most part, they've been kept. And I think when it comes to Made in America, so the big challenge for the president right now is that I truly hope that he will take under advisement most those who like Curtis, when we have him on, who understand that many of these global trade deals, they seem well-intended, they seem well-meaning, they look very, very good on paper, but is it going to just keep Made in America in a somewhat stagnant place as opposed to the kind of growth, and I think in certain industries, explosive growth that we can have? And that's really the challenge for him right now. But I will say this, Michael, I do like overall where I think things are going, but in only 6 months, we're back to having another election.
Yes, and you know, Rich, you're right. And the thing I'd like to add to this comment, this is a challenge for every mayor, every governor, every congressman, every senator to follow that type of lead like President Trump gave, whether they're Democrats, Republicans, or independents. I'm not picking on any party. I'm picking on the fact that they did nothing over the years to focus on the Made in America, keeping jobs in America, making those taxes lower. We've been talking about it for several years on this broadcast, and until Mr. Trump, President Trump, came into the picture, was there any action? And why did people go out and vote? I mean, I'm learning a lot from people now, and they're saying, I don't care that our governor is just a guy sitting in a mansion doing very little and saying very little in a state with the amount of millions of people we have. Well, you know, what are we going to do to put a fire under him? And I said, well, in the campaign, that has to be brought up. Once the primary is over in a few weeks, they have to start putting up the heat and asking them, what are they going to do? Taxing businesses to death is not going to tax the state into prosperity. All it does is make businesses run away. Larkin, what do you say to that?
Good morning, Michael. Good morning, Rich. I think Mark is on. Yes. Henry, and to all of our listeners, good morning, good morning, good morning. There has been a huge turn of events that I think cannot go unnoticed. My thermometer, it's sunny and bright here and a beautiful 74 degrees, but it's going to be 88 in Philadelphia.
Yeah, unbelievable.
What are you guys doing up there?
I don't know. I hear a wire shaking somewhere, Larkin.
That's absolutely great. One of these days we'll get the climate figured out. You know, I think you bring up some really great points. It is calming down a little bit for the president. It certainly isn't as frantic as it was when he was first elected, because I think the Democrats are discovering that they're fighting a very, very poor battle right now. And they've sent Nancy Pelosi suggesting that yesterday afternoon, suggesting that their key piece of legislation, when and if they get a chance to take over Congress, is going to be gun control, which I'm not selling short. I think it's important. But any legislator, any politician, anybody who is willing to listen to the intelligence of a guy like Sherman McLeod is going to understand that you cannot and will not fix this country until you break the cycle of poverty. You have to break the cycle of poverty. You have to give a hand up and stop this giving hands out. You know, it's just great to appease your own level of guilt by saying, well, let's just invent another way of giving away money so that they'll forever be beholden to us, and we'll always vote Democrat.
But I think that's old news at this point, because I think with the new technology, Larkin, and the things that I'm hearing from people, is that the real voters, unfortunately, you have a lot of registered voters, and you don't see them out at the polls, especially for the primaries. But the voters, the actual voters, they're tired because their children and their grandchildren are left without a lot of jobs and a lot of possibilities. High education bills. You know, 12 years ago and 15 years ago, you could watch television free with an antenna on your roof. People didn't have cell phones at the numbers they did today. Today, you're fighting your way up the mountain just to pay your regular bills for access to the internet, for access to cable and everything else. And people are disgusted with the whole deal, the whole reality. They don't mind having to pay the Comcast bill or the whatever bill dealer they deal with, but they're disgusted by not having a job to be able to pay that bill. And that's where things have changed. And my advice to every governor, every candidate running for House or Senate or local representative, that they start to address the bread and butter issues that are needed by the American people right now.
So I don't know how that differs one iota from what I said. What you're preaching is exactly what needs to happen, and that is breaking the cycle of poverty. And the only way you break the cycle of poverty is put money, earned money, talent-based money into people's pockets.
Right.
You get dad off of the stoop shooting craps and passing his day away because he can't find work because he has no skill. And you educate them and you give them a skill and you don't worry about whether they go to college or not. I had a plumber in here this morning, came in and replaced the whole fixture. Was standing out in the driveway paying the bill, and I was talking to him, and I said, how's the plumbing business? And he said, well, you know, the plumbing business for the small individual plumber that's out there doing reputable work, rising to the occasion, answering the phone calls, looking for the inquiries, trying to find opportunities, is working very well. But he said, I came to this small business that I've owned this for 12 years, from a major plumbing organization in Orlando, Florida. He said, I had, when I was running as the general service manager, 11 crews. And this was all great. This was corporate plumbing at its very, very best. But guess what? We couldn't find the talent to even drive the trucks, let alone ride shotgun and help people go out and do plumbing work. So I told him about Sherman, and I told him about what we were doing, and he said, that's needed so badly, and people don't understand that. They pick up the phone, want to call the plumber, and they expect somebody to come out who understands plumbing, and they fix it. But he said, for the longest time, all I did was run around in a company car and correct the things that our so-called plumbers had screwed up, because they truly were nothing short of early journeymen, and they didn't understand the trade. And he's 100% right. If somebody, you know, give them a panel truck and the tools and the skills, and then find the Scores of the world and all of the other small business assistance organizations, to get out there and help them struggle the way through being a good, competent businessman, because you have two chores as a tradesman. You have to be a competent welder, and you have to have the judgment of a good businessman. So we've got to break the cycle.
Yes,
and no more handouts. No more handouts. We don't need any more handouts. Democrats, I know you're trying to buy votes. I know. And Republicans, half of that group is just as guilty.
Just as guilty, because, Larkin, you're right. They are just as guilty, mainly because these things didn't happen in states and cities with one party only. In some of the one-party rule places, maybe. But in the state legislature, even in Pennsylvania, there should have been a focus on ending this cycle of dependency 30 years ago. When people tell me at the job fairs, they're disappointed because they're getting the applicants come over. They look great, but they can't read, they can't count, and they can't spell without their cell phone or some device helping them along. Is that what American education came to?
So the political system that we so dearly love and fight to protect, they're Democrats. I'm telling you, there are two Democrats at every exit of the wall where all of those workers are looking to people from South America are looking to come into our country and become citizens, because they're being mistreated in their own countries. There are two Democrats flanking that door as they pass through to be interviewed, and they're handing them what was your last name? Ramirez? Okay, here's your Democratic registration. Thank you very much, Democrat. And they're standing there ticking them off. Everyone that comes through the door is going to be a Democratic voter. But as they get another 10 feet, there are two Republicans there handing them cards that say, how would you like to be a member of our group? Our big corporations and our big money mongers make more money as a result of letting them in. It's cheap labor. Republicans love cheap labor. Democrats love the voters that they get. So they're all motivated by different levels of egregious activity. But listen,
Larkin, you're right. But there's one thing I just would like to add, which I'm sure no one will disagree. Number one is, after the primary, and we're getting close to the election in November, all of our listeners, every American has to contact these people running for office and ask them for a document. The information that I receive in the mail from these people running for different offices, it's all the same stuff. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. I'm for this. I'm for that. If I went to campaign material from 2, 4, and 6 years ago, it's the same rigmarole. Now we want to see action. Action speak louder than all the bull that you can throw in the mail. Mark, what do you say?
Yeah, welcome, guys. How you doing, Larkin, Rich, Henry, Mike? I just want to first say, Sherman McLeod last week, Larkin, what a find. What a refreshment. The hope he brings and what he's doing, Larkin, you just talked about bringing people out of poverty. What he's doing is giving people confidence to work and to create their own money. Just hats off to Sherman. We're going to be setting up a tour and visit, and we're going to include you guys, and Larkin will let you know soon. I want to do it in May. But hats off to Sherman. He wants to produce 4,500 skilled workers a year. That's his goal, and we need them. So, am I busy? You guys talked with Donald Trump. Everybody's politically correct. And I always said it's not an R thing, a D thing. We're non-political at the Made in America. But you know what? At this point, we've got to give it up to Donald Trump, because 2 years ago, I didn't have any work. I am busy, busier than I've been in 10 years. And we can't find workers, but we're slowly finding one here or there. But it's so refreshing, and we've got to give the man credit. Last night on the news, 15 minutes, almost 15 minutes of 20-25 minutes of the world news with David Muir, is talking about Trump negativity. They want to show dandruff on the French leader's shoulder, and he might have taken a drug that grew his hair. What are they doing? But if you don't know, the media is crooked by now. But Trump, again, it's the doers against the users, and it's it's the American party that we're for, and that's for Trump. I think the people, I just worked my club for 4 days, a conservation club bartender. There's more happy and positive businessmen than I've ever heard. They're thinking they're making the guys unconfident with their choice. They're getting stronger and stronger, the Trump voters, because they wanted this change. And boy, is it there, and he should get the credit he deserves.
You're absolutely, Mark, you took the word.
I can't not say it anymore.
I mean, that everywhere Trump. I go to a lot of these events, and I thank everybody that invites me. I try to go to as many as possible. Those people are saying just what you said.
We don't see any on TV, though, Mike. It's unbelievable. If they hate bullying or demoralizing a human being and they're doing it to Trump, what are they setting a standard for?
You're, oh,
it's
man.
Incredible.
Michael, can I?
Yes, you may, Rich.
Because I want to follow up a point with Larkin that Larkin made. Hey, guys, I want to ask you something. What's going on with DACA? Where is it?
Yes, such an important issue. We can't live two weeks until it's addressed. Now it's forgotten.
Where is it, Michael? You
That's
know what
right.
happens? See, here's what happened with DACA. The American people want a resolution to immigration because the American people, I do believe the majority of us, understand that as a sovereign nation, you need to be here legally. So here's what happened with DACA, Michael. So the president puts together a DACA proposal that says, stay out of trouble, stay out of legal trouble, pay your fines, pay your taxes, and in 10 years we'll talk citizenship. Democrats come in and say, no, that's not fair. Well, what's not fair about it? Well, 10 years is a long time. So Larkin, it's not like the Democrats came in and said, well, you know, Mr. President, 10 years is a long time. How about 5? And the president says, well, it's a little too short. How about 8? Let's shake hands. We do it on a – the DACA proposal, Michael, was more than fair. But you know what the president did? The president said, hey, guys, let me remind you of something. I won. You lost. I don't need to work with you. You need to work with me. DACA was very fair. They didn't even counter DACA, Michael. They just simply said we won't vote for it. So then the president said, well, I guess then it's off the table. Why? Because what the Dems do is they exploit these illegal alien families, especially the children in those families. So I'm not going to get into a whole thing about whether, you know, the migrant workers, they're, you know, they're good people, bad people. I don't care about that. What I care about is that we're a nation of laws, not a nation of men. And that's why DACA is gone. It's totally out of the news because the entire deal is dead because the Dems don't want Mark and they don't want him waiting 10 years. They want it like in 10 minutes. That's why. And DACA, in my opinion, was more than fair. And immigration is one of these multifaceted issues, like Larkin's pointing out here, where you've got it affecting all other so many other issues, Michael, in the country right now. And the people, the American people, finally want it once and for all. They want it resolved. Why? Because the thing about the president is that, unlike politicians, when he does his speeches and when he runs for re-election, he's not going to run on talk. He's going to run on, I'm going to hang my hat on results. He wants to hang his hat on results, right? This happened, this occurred, this was achieved, unlike politicians. And so DACA could have gotten done, Michael. We actually could have had significant legislation that would have finally, once and for all, begun remedying this multi-president problem, this bipartisan problem that's been created by both. But instead, it's done. It's gone. Where is it? It's gone.
You're right. Rich, you just said something very interesting. Multi-president problem. If you remember at a State of the Union speech, Bill Clinton said, we have to close the borders because it's taking our jobs away. He had his time in office. Bush had his 8 years. Obama had his 8 years. What happened to the issue? It should have been addressed years ago when it would have cost half to put the wall up or make a brand new security system there where people would know from wherever you want to come that this is not a place you're going to be allowed to come to. And that's it, unless you're invited by someone. You know, years ago, you were not able to immigrate in some cases unless you had someone in America willing to welcome you, willing to accept you into their home. Today, it's just come in, and once you're in, we just, you know, flood you with all kinds of services, monies, welfare. Who is paying for that? Who is authorizing that money for people coming over the border or from any other area, however they're getting in?
We're paying for
that. We are paying, and yet the American voter has sat quiet all these years. And I know, working in human services, I see, I hear, I go to places, I know exactly what's going on. The people are tired of it. The guy at the top for 20 years has not spoken up in their behalf. Now that someone is speaking up, and I'm not pro-Trump on everything that he says and does, but now that a person is speaking up, all the news media is trying to tear him down because they're afraid he might be successful in something that they hadn't addressed in 25 years.
Mike, why is the media focused on bringing down our president instead of growing the country constantly? They should be focused on growing this country, one team.
That's right. I tell people a total focus on America until we regain all that we lost and get more ways for working age and able-bodied people to have enough jobs that they don't ever have to depend on government for anything other than give government some money to operate their systems.
You know, the other day there was a remark made that one of the staffers in the White House snitched to the New York Times and told them that General Kelly called Trump an idiot. And my wife said, yeah, you shouldn't be doing that. And I said to my wife, Jody, dear, if I had gotten under the gun every time I called my boss, I would have been gone before I was 23. So, you know, it, imagine any press corps anywhere thinking that that's significant and going out of their way to try to convince the motoring public that, in fact, it's significant. It couldn't possibly be more insignificant. Couldn't possibly.
It's a good point, Larkin. My engineer, Ed Laft, he had 9 children. We call him Mr. Walton. And his kids would get in a trench. The boss would swear at him. They'd quit. Ed said, when was I wasn't sworn at constantly digging a trench?
Yeah. You don't get in there and shake things up and change things without somebody taking an exception to it, without somebody disagreeing because their point is they think they're right and they think you're wrong. That's what makes the world go round. But the fact that the press would make such a deal out of this is, listen, they used to, the Democrats used to put out these T-shirts. And it was a picture of George H.W. and George W. Bush on the front of the T-shirt. And what did it say? Idiot one and idiot two. So, you know, they've had their fun over there calling Republicans idiots. But now the press is trying to make something really important out of it. And it's so insignificant and such a literal waste of their readers' and watchers' time. It's not even fun.
And, you know, Larkin, you're right. And people tell me, you know, because of the endless battling of stupidity, I stopped watching these particular shows. I was just talking to a friend of mine, Paul, the other day, and he said to me, I stopped watching all the morning shows on Sunday, and I don't watch the evening shows anymore because it's all negativity. I rather spend my time doing something more positive, looking, you know, at the History Channel.
I agree, Mike.
And I can't take it anymore. And I don't need anybody to influence me to tell me that leaders in America didn't stop businesses from leaving America, taking our jobs, job skills, and stability. Where was the leader? And by the way, Larkin, you've been in the system with Democrats and Republicans. Who was the leader over the last 20 years that we can point to right now that was mainly focused on the jobs issue? Do you know anybody?
Certainly not prior to Trump.
Well, this is the problem, and this is where people don't like the fact that all this wrangling is going on, and there's absolutely no benefit. It's just if the press took that time and said, okay, we want to give our version of something, version A, version B, version C. Maybe if we did this, maybe if we did this. These people like Nancy Pelosi or any of it, Paul Ryan, go, let them all go. It's finished. We need people who have their eyes set on the future of America so that my children, grandchildren, and all of your children and grandchildren will have a future we will never forget. Sherman McLeod last week was not only good, he was outstanding because he took the whole issue from start to finish. He didn't look just to go after, you know, getting money to do the program. He wanted to improve people's lives. Mark, you said he wants to address 4,500 students. I'd like to see the school district put out 4,500 qualified, skilled people next graduating
and
period.
They're gonna have a
I'll be there to see. I want to see the 4,500.
They're going to have a livelihood that continually pays them money. They're never going to starve. It's incredible the type, you know, the people. And they're learning something that they never knew they had in them, and it's just beautiful stuff.
Oh, absolutely. And I
well, you know, Sherman said to me, they're learning that they're capable of learning. That's the amazing thing.
But see, Larkin, why weren't they told that they were capable when they were in junior high school or high school?
Metal shops, wood shops are out there, never exposed to this, Mike, never.
Never.
And I have to tell you, another person contacted me as a result of Sherman from Delaware County Community Colleges. I believe Walt Jakubowski was the administrator down there for about 10 years. But they contacted me, and I think at some point they wanted me to promo some of the classes that they are doing with high school students. Very interesting. Everything is expanding now. Why wasn't it for 25 years?
I got to add to this. Last Friday, I went to Alden Central Schools here, which is only 20 minutes from me in Buffalo. But 2 years ago, I was invited. It was a career fair. 2 years ago, I was impressed. It refreshed these kids. Already had jobs in ninth grade. They had skills. They were trying to get the metal shops, wood shops. Well, fast forward 2 years to last Friday. The metal shops, wood shops are back in. Danforth, a large organization here in New York, donated a lot of the money. And they're teaching the trades. And these kids, the day I spent 5 hours there last Friday, they asked me to be a speaker and just answer questions from the kids. There was a board of four of us. And we talked about what we need, and we talked about college, and we never down college. We didn't say, like ECC, these community tech schools, 2-year degrees at a lot better price is a great option. But everybody agreed. They had an alumni come back that said, I left Alden, and now I'm working for Ingersoll Rand, and I'm doing very well, plenty of money. So it was so refreshing to talk to these kids and give them a direction, and the teachers were on board. But it is happening. This change is happening. Not fast, but it is happening because it has to happen.
And I see it, and I hear it. I would like very much, boy, Larkin was talking about something to me about 2 weeks ago. I'd love to see all the school superintendents called from all over the United States into some convention center and let them all hear what has happened to America's schools over the years prior, many cases prior to their being the leadership, but let them know what has to happen. America needs skilled workers. When businesses are coming back to America, they say, well, in order for us to survive here for the first 2 years, we are going to have to bring in a portion of our employees from the foreign countries on these visas to operate the equipment in America because there's no people in America that have the skills to do it. How is that even possible?
So this is, you know, again, Michael, your idea that they call the governors in and they all sit down and talk about what their problems are, which Trump did, by the by, not too terribly long ago.
And it should be a monthly meeting with the president, not just once a year, monthly. I mean, governors can make their schedule around getting together and listening to what other governors have to say.
So I say let the students pick one or two teachers out of their faculty at Sacred Heart or, you know, Public School 157. Just open ballot or, you know, closed ballot, but the students elect two teachers. And those two teachers go to Washington, D.C., along with two teachers from every other school that can send, and they fill up Washington, the Redskins Stadium. And And they get up one after another, as they did, as the governors did, and they talk about what's so difficult about teaching. Why don't the children want to learn? What do we need to do to fix it? And Washington doesn't say a word. Washington doesn't ask a question unless they're further requesting an explanation from a remark made by a teacher. That's it.
Yeah.
And they journalize all of this and put it down. They have teachers talk about poverty-ridden areas all the way up to the different township, you know, beautiful school districts. And they talk about what it is that we need to do as a country to get from the bottom of the list when we were the top of the list for decades.
Yeah, they just don't listen, Larkin.
Larkin,
they don't listen.
Yeah,
you know that. What you're saying is absolutely true, and I want to make this little comment today. Being in human services, I saw something happening in the last 20, 25 years. There are people who work in these various offices who really don't want the people to get out of poverty because that's their job. That's their weekly paycheck and their future pension.
They're the users.
They're the users. They're pushing. They're just like drug people.
That's the whole problem.
Just pushing benefits on people. I mean, all these people monitoring, going out. Why aren't they monitoring people to say, well, okay, you don't fit in this particular job category. Maybe we can have you trained in this job. None of that. Poverty became an industry in America. How can you drive, Larkin, can you please tell me, how can you drive between 10 miles and see people living in poverty and people living okay? Why is that?
You're right. I never looked at it that way, Michael.
That's the way I see it. I go on the street with the human service program, so I know exactly how can I drive 10 miles, drive through poverty and go into a better section. It doesn't make sense. We are all one people. We are Americans. We're one blood. No matter what nationality we are, we salute one flag.
It's funny you bring that up, Mike, because my boss, Snowplow Rep, was up. We had to do early order, believe it or not. It's the beginning of plow season for us. But yesterday, and he travels the country, but he could see them areas just like you talk about it, the change from state to state. It's incredible from area to area, town to town, city to city, and state to state, that poverty lines. It's amazing.
People tell me when they come into the center here, they tell me that they go into different places where the downtown is a ghost town, mainly because the industry's left.
Yep.
And all the little stores that were dependent upon those industries, people going out for lunch, people meeting after work, people going out for coffee in the morning before they went to work, they all died on the vine as the industries left. If we're able to see that, you saw it in Buffalo, New York, Mark, very well.
Oh, yeah. Youngstown, Ohio.
Oh, every one of them. Yeah. Syracuse, New York. It's just one after the other. When you look, what the hell happened? What happened is the leadership got comfortable. They got their paycheck every week. They didn't care what was happening to what we call the little people.
Well, they didn't care about the next generation.
Right. They cared about themselves. They knew that their pay, their pension, and their, you know, gyms and everything else that is available to them is available to them. And that is where this entire thing has gone south. And unless we start doing it, when President Trump was on his rallies, there was no question in your mind that if he became president, this is what he was going to do. Every governor that's running now, or every senator, we don't know what they're really going to do. They should be out in that type of a rally with the people, riling the people up to see what's going to be best for their cities or states. Do you agree with that, Larkin?
Oh, 100%. 100%. And you mentioned a little bit ago, and this is amazing. You mentioned a little bit ago about the voters that care, the ones that show up to primaries and the ones that show up to every election. Well, I can tell you as an election operative in Philadelphia for whatever it was, 10 years, we had a category called super voters. And a super voter was a voter who hadn't missed an election in like 7 or 8. I forget what the threshold was. But it was a considerable length of time. Hadn't missed a single election. I was a super voter. I never missed an election in my life. But at any rate, these super voters, what percentage of the Philadelphia voters do you think are super voters, Mike?
Not many. Not many. In fact, there's an election coming up in maybe 12 days or so. They're already predicting because of the interest, because not the voters are not hearing from the candidates other than pieces of mail in their mailboxes. They're not really hearing the candidates. They're not seeing, they're not shaking hands with the candidates. The percentage of voters is going to be low. Now, that's the worst thing you can hear. It's like going to a football game, sitting in the stands, waiting for the game to start, and it never starts. This is the same analysis.
Well, the problem is the science of elections has changed enormously with the advent of technology. There's just absolutely no question. It used to be that you went out and you beat the pass. You went out and there was a direct correlation to the success of your election to the number of doors that you knocked on and the number of people that you spoke to. They don't do that anymore.
No.
When's the last time somebody in Philadelphia knocked on your door and said, good afternoon, I'm a candidate for city council and I'd like to talk to you about our problems?
And the way most people have security now, you would know if they were there. If they say, well, we came in the neighborhood. People who have security, they're lying. You were not around the neighborhood, period. Rich?
Well, but, Michael, that's the you know, and I'm not – this isn't the time, perhaps, to get into the whys, but what you just said is that's the problem when you have a city where the same people have run it for the last 20,000 consecutive days.
But it's not only Philadelphia, Rich. It's not only Philadelphia. No matter where it is, the people have been asleep at the wheel for years. I've gone into townships that were run by Republicans for 50 years. Nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. They're comfortable, fat and happy and comfortable. They're fed. It's like the Coliseum mentality. Let the people argue and I just come on the voter day, shake your hand and you'll vote for me and that's it.
That's lack of competition, Michael.
That's right.
And ultimately, a lack of competition doesn't produce a good product for the end user, a good service for the end user, in this case, the voters. And that is the difference between the president and his candidacy and politicians. And I believe that maybe the number one reason why the establishment GOP is at times as against the president as the Democrats are is because he's come in as a Republican and showed essentially how ineffective and impotent the GOP can be and has been over the years. Because when you're just hanging your hat on results, that's what people are going to see. Because the difference between a talker is just that, right? Someone who just talks your ear off, and anyone can talk, but actually getting things done, that's because, Michael, and here's a comment that's going to make Democrat heads explode at this moment. So if you're a Democrat, take a seat, sit down for a moment, because you're going to not like this one. Trump is the first civilian president, Michael, in the history of America. And that is way more glass ceiling shattering than anything else. Way more.
Interesting point.
And imagine for a moment, imagine if and why? Because he ran to do the job for the right reason. See, it's always the intent, right, Michael? It's always the intent. No military, no government experience. First civilian president, most glass ceiling shattering president in American history, and thanks to everyone who supported him. Now, again, it doesn't matter even whether you like his politics or not. That's the historic fact of it. You don't get to decide something isn't historic just because you don't like the outcome. And as a civilian president, imagine if the Republican Party leadership around the country, if we could attract and entice civilian-type candidates, you know, the Mark Andels. But Mark Andel would never run for office because Mark Andel needs to see some wins, right? Mark, you got to see some wins before you'll throw your hat in the ring, because otherwise you're going to say, why am I going to do that job? Why would I do that? And without wins, Michael, it's going to be very, very hard to attract the right kind of people. And if the Republican Party became that civilian leadership party, which, FYI, is exactly what the founders intended when the country was created, a civilian leadership party, you would see things be very different. But instead, it's just, you know, the Dems and the R's are just kind of the flip side of the same coin, Michael, unfortunately. Like we've said many, many times on this show, that's always been my calling card. That's not really any different right now.
And what's the number one initiative right now, talking point right now, that best supports what you're saying? It's term limits. It's exactly what it is. Term limits is saying we're supposed to be led by the citizens, not by professional politicians, not by Schumers who stick around so long that they start stinking like fish. I mean, yeah, sorry. You've outstayed your welcome. And I can name just as many Republicans, so we don't, you know, so somebody doesn't yell at me that I just don't like Democrats. That's what term limits is all about. Go home. We heard what you had to say. By the way, what you forgot while you were here is you are here to represent the people who elected you. We don't care what you think. We care what your electorate thinks. That's why you're here. You are called, this is an amazing point, you are called a representative.
That's right.
You're right. And lack of competition, as you said, Rich, is really what has hurt America for years and years. There's no focus. It's just, oh, I'll be reelected. And as Larkin said many times, the day after the election is over and they're sworn into office, they begin on working on their next reelection. Well, that shouldn't be. You should have more community rallies when they say, oh, I don't want to go because the people are brutalizing the candidates and they're brutalizing the elected officials. Well, that's what you're doing when you go to be elected. You're in a coliseum. You're representing the people. The biggest voices have the most to say.
Guys, did you see, and Mark, and I think you're alluding to this, Mark, did you see the other day, just a couple days ago, I think it was yesterday, actually. The president says, oh, I absolutely endorse the idea of term limits. I ran on that. You've got a sitting president saying, hey, Congress, where are the term limits? And I'm sitting here saying, oh, hallelujah. Like, Larkin, I there's not a number big enough in the universe for how much I support term limits.
Yep.
Pick the biggest number in the universe, Michael. That's the percentage. Which is it 20 gazillion percent? That's my percentage that I agree with. I know we have elections. And it's like when we had John Runyon on, right? And he said, well, there are elections, there's term limits. And I'm sympathetic to that point. And he's correct in the sense of doing it. But I want the real thing, Mark. You know, I want the real thing. I want the real thing where, especially in Washington, because if you're there for just two terms, let's say, then you're kind of forced out before the Hydra totally takes over. And then it's time for someone else to come in. And so I'm not holding my breath that members of Congress right now will attempt to put that legislation together. But I think, Michael, my little prediction here, and I'm not a betting man, I think you're going to hear term limits become a more commonplace political issue. Larkin, down here, as you've seen, our governor now running for Senate, Rick Scott, the first campaign ad that he released, you know what it was about? Term limits. Rick Scott's first ad wasn't about the economy. Rick Scott's done very well. He's done good for the state of Florida, Michael, all things considered economically. And he's been a very effective governor for 8 years. You know what his first ad was? Term limits.
Well, I agree with that. You know, Rich, I have to say this too. And I agree there's a lack of competition. And there's also a lack of going out to the business people to ask them, what would help you to expand your business right here in the USA so you don't ever leave our town or city? None of that is going on. It's like they call on business for a campaign donation and they shake hands and they run down the line, you know, the rally line and in and out in 20 minutes. That should no longer be a focus of today. You should have to put your statements in writing with the internet and all. There's no longer excuses why you can't have all of your stuff documented. That would help. And there should always be no less than one candidate running against an incumbent or two new people running for the job. What makes me really sick is when the same incumbent is running and they have absolutely no competition. So they sit back and who cares? You've seen it, Larkin, many times in some districts. There are the same person runs all by himself for 10, 12 years.
Unopposed. That's the number one opponent in Philadelphia politics.
And that's where it should be changed. Yeah. Oh, I don't want to insult him. You know, he has friends. My friend works for him. And by the way, it's the same way in human services. I don't see even one agency telling people how we're going to get them job training so they can lift themselves out of poverty. I don't see any of it. It's no, this you need this, you deserve that. How about you deserve an opportunity to have a job skills, and a future?
Yep, absolutely.
This was a good broadcast. I was glad that we were able to really, you know, have these things to say, because too many people have been, you know, watching working age and able-bodied people and their families really suffer. And I, as you know, we promote this National Small Business Weekend. That's coming up already this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Please go out and support your local businesses throughout the year. But remember, the brick-and-mortar stores are also depending on you to survive. And yes, I do know that a tremendous amount of people are going on the internet to buy things because they want the convenience of delivery. However, there are certain things, and small businesses include the pizza shop, all the little stores that you would need supplies from. Go to them, support them, because they really are employing over 60 million Americans across America. And as I said earlier, some of those towns where the industries moved, the towns almost turned into ghost towns. Yeah. Because the little businesses were hurt. Mark, you see it near where you are right now.
Absolutely.
What happened in the last 25 years?
You know, Mike, we've got, and guys, you know, this is a big May. We're excited. We got Memorial Day, Armed Forces Day, our big events, the 19th. We're setting 1,000 3-foot by 5-foot flags up on the front lawn. Ricky Lee's got a new program called Flags for Freedom, and 1,000 3-foot by 5-foot flags are going to be set up on our front lawn. Great picture, but these buses are coming in now, and Made in America is more strong than ever. It's stronger than ever, and people that are listening, if you shut off them TV shows or the media, the fake news, and go out and buy Made in America products, just keep asking, because it's working. I just want to thank everybody, Mike. And one other thing I want to say, 3 weekends ago I got asked to be a guest on Honor Flight. We left Buffalo at 5:00 in the morning. We were supposed to return that night at 11, but we got held over for an ice storm. I was with 50 heroes, 134 people went, and we went to the Pentagon and Arlington and World War II Museum, and they not only honor the World War II vets who are dying at a rate of 50 a day, but they honor the Korean and the Vietnam. And what an awesome experience, Mike. I'm going to focus my attention to Honor Flight, and it's around the country. But if you or the listeners ever look in or can get on an Honor Flight and be, you know, help and take a vet or just work with a crew, it's an amazing experience.
Beautiful. Mark, how's everything else going on with you and the radio show and all of the other people there in your area?
Excellent. Our team is strong. We're getting fired up a lot. The distribution center is doing real well because people want Made in America products. They don't want to do the homework. But once you educate them, Mike, and raise awareness of what we're doing, the buses, like I said, just the weather finally broke in Buffalo. We had a long, long winter. But people really care, and they're really realizing what we have to offer. They can't believe we don't make an electronic device, anything that plugs in or a battery. And the more people that know this, it raises a flag. And it's just exciting because people are busy again, businesses, there's confidence level up. There's a lot of good going on, and it's great to see the positive attitudes.
Beautiful. And I'd like to alert everyone to check out Mark on the internet or his show. It's broadcast there locally in the Buffalo area. However, you can listen to rebroadcast simply by going to the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com and then click on the link that's right there on the front page under the Made in America store program, and you'll see Made in America Radio Show. Hear what Mark has to say. He's another one of the people that is helping us beat the drum for positive change in America. Also, Rich Loges has been very active these days with the Rich Loges Show. And I know that Rich likes to give his, you know, fa. So, Rich, continue to do good work. And if you go on, you click on Rich's picture and you just see him with that bullhorn, you'll know immediately what you're going to be getting. I'm
equal
one
opportunity
of,
offender, Michael.
Equal opportunity offender. You know, as I go around, I tell people and they say, you should do this, you should do that. I say, I don't want to pick on any party in particular. We're non-sectarian. We're non-political to the best of our ability because I've seen that both sides of the aisle have neglected the taxpayers, neglected the people. We should never have poverty in the country the way we do. You go into some European countries, there is very little poverty. There may be poor people, but not the level of poverty we're experiencing in America. And by the way, if those jobs never left America, our poverty level would be down to about 20% of where we are today. You agree with that, Larkin?
Absolutely.
And that is shameful to say. And working in human services, I've seen this. And it's discouraging to me where people say, why don't you just keep your mouth shut? I only have 7 more years before I can retire and get a pension from giving away all these benefits. And here you're on radio shows. You're out on the street attacking all this stuff. I say, well, I'm tired of it. I need change to happen. The American people want change, and our radio broadcasts, our job fairs, and everything else is helping to bring about a good feeling that people can move up the ladder of success and be successful for the rest of their life. Well, as you can hear, the music is on. I want to say a special thank you to Rich Loges, Mark Andel, and Larkin Conley. I also got greetings from Curtis Ellis. I want to once again thank Sherman McLeod for a wonderful, wonderful presentation last week. What he did is outstanding. And if you did not hear the broadcast last week, I encourage you to go on AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Anytime link. Until this Saturday at 11 or next Wednesday at 11, I wish you and yours the very best. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for spreading the word. America needs us.